another edition of Believe in Titans podcast with John Glennon from alltitans@si.com, former Titans cornerback Denard Walker, and I'm David Beauclair, also at alltitans@si.com. You can find our work there, si.com/NFL/Titans, and we'll get right to the story that remains a story, has been for, I guess, about 3 weeks now. At Titans OTAs on Tuesday, Ryan Tannehill addressed what he had said following the draft about Malik Willis and how he didn't believe it was his job to mentor the rookie quarterback and all the I guess brouhaha that resulted from that. In a nutshell, he said he didn't like the way he was portrayed. Based on those comments, thought that people took those comments, ran in sort of the wrong direction with them. In particular, he didn't like the characterization that he is afraid or unwilling to compete for his job, or that he is a bad teammate in any way. So, John Glennon, I'll start with you. Was he effective in getting his message across? And do you think this issue will die now, or is it something that will continue to some degree into the offseason?
Yeah, I thought he was very effective. And in general, what we've seen, I think, from Ryan Tannehill this offseason, you know, he talked about how, you know, he's done a lot of kind of self-evaluation and maybe some help for Ryan Tannehill during the offseason. I think he's been very revealing about a lot of things so far this offseason. And in that regard, I do think he was effective. I actually thought the issue was kind of dead already. I was a little bit surprised that he dove right in and addressed it. But good on him. And my reaction is, you know, I think there are very few people who disagreed with his own evaluation today. I think almost everyone thought of him as a good teammate, as being generally supportive. It was simply that he made that odd choice of going somewhere he didn't need to go when he said, I'm not going to be, or it's not my job to mentor him. And I think maybe today he cleared up a little bit when he kind of defined what mentor meant for him, you know, when he said it's a little bit deeper maybe than just kind of a, you know, offering a few pointers kind of things. He said, I've had help from hundreds of guys, but only a few mentors. And that's something that is a, you know, kind of a big commitment on both ends, a lot of time and a lot of energy. And, you know, maybe for him, he was simply saying that he wasn't necessarily going to be at that big, deep level right away. But certainly, you know, I think everyone thought he was going to be a generally supportive teammate.
Yeah, I that was the one area that I thought he wasn't as effective in, when he played semantics with the word mentor. I think he might have been better served, because he, you know, he did the right thing in terms of attacking the issue head on, saying where he thought people got it wrong, whatever. But I think he probably, what he could have, maybe should have said there was, okay, instead of the word mentor, probably what I should have said was, I don't think it's right. My job to help this guy take my job. Correct. You know, plain and simple. I think he might have been a little better served there, but otherwise, I think I'm with you. I think he was effective, and a lot of it had to do with sort of his attitude and demeanor up there. He wasn't defensive. He wasn't sort of standoffish or even attacking the media. He was just sort of, you know, I just didn't like this. And he was very comfortable in explaining what he didn't like. And he didn't call anybody out in particular. And I liked too that he said, I didn't read everything that was written, or I didn't listen to everything that was said, but I had a general sense of how this thing was going badly and how quickly it was going badly. And then he just sat back and waited till his next turn to get up in front of the media to address it. Denard, I'll ask you this, you know, as a veteran player, when you had done a lot of media stuff, were you concerned ever when you were talking to the media? Number one, did you try to be careful with your words? And two, is this the kind of distraction that can, I don't know, impact Ryan Tannehill's off-season work in any way, do you think?
Well, first of all, you know, We have classes that we go through before the season starts and how we communicate with the media to make sure that we say the right things and make sure that things are not misconstrued. Unfortunately, sometimes things don't come out the way that, you know, at least when we're giving a, let's say, kind of a response from a question you guys ask us, and it comes out the wrong way. So what we try to do is to make sure that we keep everything very clear and be honest with y'all, because I mean, we feel like as, you know, as players, we do have an obligation to the media, and I can understand where Ron is coming from. I said this when we first talked about this situation, it was a non-issue because this is something that it could be blown up out of proportion. And I don't think that this is the case. And I love what Ron said. He meant no disrespect to Malik. And I love when we talked about the word mentor, because in mentoring in the National Football League doesn't mean that you have to take a guy under your wings. What you're doing is it's little things like off the field. I know he had Malik over to his house for dinner, just getting a chance to know an individual. And I don't think this is going to be an issue because you know what kind of teammate, you know what kind of player Ron is. Ron is one of the best teammates that a team or a young organization can have. He is the face of Tennessee, and he's never had any issues other than this little situation. So again, I don't think that this is going to be something that's going to hinder this team going forward. I think it's going to be a plus. I think it's going to be a plus for Malik to get a chance to learn from a player of Ron's caliber. He's been in this league for 11 years, and he's taken this organization to 3 straight playoff appearances. So again, what Malik is going to win in this situation, because he gets a chance to learn from one of the best quarterbacks in the National Football League and Ryan Tannehill. So I don't think that this is going to be an issue at all.
And John, to your point that, you know, you thought it was mostly a dead issue already, Malik Willis went a long way to doing that with when he met with the media at rookie minicamp, and how he sort of laughed it off. And I think everybody probably comes away from this figuring, you know, these are two really good guys who, you know, it'd be odd probably if they didn't get along to in that meeting room and in the huddle, however they're working together.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, again, a lot of it kind of goes back to, you know, whatever somebody's definition of mentor is, right? Because a lot of the things that Ryan Tannehill is doing and Malik Willis has appreciated, you know, things like reaching out, Denard, you mentioned, you know, having him over to the house, supporting him, you know, helping out there. A lot of people would say that is what a mentor does, you know, which makes, you know, it's kind of puzzling, you know, again. Ryan Tannehill's definition of mentor, apparently a little bit different, a little bit deeper meaning on that front, which is why he said what he did. But, you know, I think there would be very, very few, if anybody, either in the local media or on the Titans team that would consider Tannehill a poor teammate, you know, whether it was before he said what he said or after. I think, you know, his reputation is an excellent one.
Yeah, ultimately, it's the nature of the quarterback position, right? The most popular guy on the roster is always the backup quarterback, and there's nothing that excites a fan base like a team drafting a quarterback, and you know, contrast that to a guy like Theo Jackson, 6th round pick, who by all accounts, you know, what we've seen in a couple of rookie camp workouts and in one OTA so far, you know, looks like a guy who can play in this league, who's going to make some contributions. No one is sitting here going, when is he going to take Kevin Byard's job? Right. No. And, you know, like this, it'll probably happen eventually, but no one's thinking what's going to happen. How's that going to play out, when it's going to happen? It's just the nature of the quarterback position. And Denard, you mentioned it. This is Ryan Tannehill's 11th year in the league, right? None of this is new to him. He understands what he's dealing with as the quarterback of an NFL team.
Yeah, he's been around the block a few times. 33 years old. He's been through this in Miami. When he got here in 2019, he took over Marcus Mariota. I mean, that wasn't an issue there. And what happened? That team ended up going to the AFC Championship. Listen, he is a veteran. You know, he's been around the block. He knows how the system works. And for guys, a lot in this league, you don't know when it's your last play. You know, there's no guaranteed in a National Football League. I don't care if you sign a 4-year, a 5-year, a 6-year deal. I mean, you can be gone. You can be cut tomorrow. That's just the way it works. But I have a situation that has been bothering me. And David and John, you can clarify this. We've talked a lot about Malik Willis being the successor of this team, but no one's talked about Logan Woodside. Last time I checked, Logan Woodside was the backup quarterback on this team. So again, why we need to address this issue. Why haven't where do we need it? We need to talk about Logan Woodside. I mean, where is he in all of this situation?
It's a great question. And you know, if say something happens to Ryan Tannehill and he misses 3 or 4 games in a row this year, you know, do the Titans take the plunge and say, well, let's get Malik Willis some game experience right off the bat? Or do you say, you know, Logan Woodside, we've invested 2.5 years into you. It's your time. Go out, show us what you can do. I think, you know, Woodside's a guy who has held off veteran competitors. You know, every guy they've brought in camp the last couple of years, from Trevor Siemian to Matt Barkley, you know, even there was some chatter with Kevin Hogan this offseason. People like, well, that guy's going to be the number two, and it never happens. So there's, you know, this coaching staff clearly likes and has faith in Logan Woodside, who has almost no game experience to speak of. So, you know, John, What would you do, I guess? What do you think would happen in that situation?
Yeah, well, what I was going to say was it brings up another question, too. Just on a regular basis, if all of your quarterbacks are healthy, you know, it's been a long time since the Titans dressed 3 quarterbacks on any kind of a regular basis. Every now and then we'll see it, you know, if one of the top two is nursing an injury and it's kind of questionable. But in this situation, do the Titans, you know, consider dressing 3 on any kind of a regular basis? Because obviously Logan Woodside is, you know, very comfortable in the system. The coaches like him and would probably be, you know, at this point in time would be better stepping in for an injured Ryan Tannehill if that was to occur in the middle of a game. But on the other hand, don't you want to have Malik Willis in there just for some packages? Even if he's not completely comfortable at running the team right now, you know, you give him some of the offensive packages and you use some of that offensive playmaking ability that we have seen from Malik Willis, you know, that's got to be tempting as well. So you run that, or you ask that question, do we go with 3 quarterbacks, you know, on a regular basis? Does that hurt us, you know, depth wise, whether that's on the offensive line, defensive line, DBs or whatever? You know, I think that's going to be an interesting question for the Titans, you know, moving forward at the start of the season also.
Yeah, it's kind of what the Ravens did with Lamar Jackson, right? I remember the 2018 game here at Nissan Stadium. I think Lamar Jackson was on the field for 2 plays in that game, and one of them was about a 35-yard touchdown run or something. I remember, you know, you could just see the speed and the athleticism, and you thought, wow, that guy's going to be a problem when he's got the ball in his hands every single time. And, you know, that's what's kind of happened in the last couple of years. So, Denard, you raised the question, you know, how would you handle that situation? Is Logan Woodside the guy you're turning to?
Yes. Well, because of experience. I mean, when you look at Logan, he's been in this program, about 4 years now, I believe. So if you look at the way that he played through preseason last year, he pretty much took all of the reps, those 3 games. And I mean, he looked phenomenal. I mean, I was really impressed how he took command of that offense. I love how it's like he had the system down, and that's what you want from your backup. The most important job in the National Football League is the backup quarterback, because we know that in this league, if your star quarterback goes down, when you bring in a backup quarterback, you don't want to lose a beat. With Logan gives you a chance to win and to win now. You don't know how a rookie quarterback is going to progress throughout the season. It might take Malik 1. It might take him 3 or 4 years down the line to be ready to take a snap in the National Football League. You just don't know, David. just with the process of how you groom a quarterback. Again, when you think of Malik Willis, the first name that comes to mind he's going to be hanging around with is Pat O'Hara. Pat O'Hara and Malik Willis would be best friends. You know, and I'm telling you, that's just the way it works in this league. Because when you develop a young quarterback, you need to make sure you put a good quarterback coach around him. So that's where he's going to get grooming, is Pat O'Hara and also offensive coordinator Todd Downing. That's what they do in practice when, you know, defense go, and if a defensive period, you always see your quarterbacks and the quarterback coach and the offensive coordinator, they go to a different side of the field. They're doing all kinds of route record, you know, just kind of doing little things, the nuances of the game. So again, I understand. That's why I said the situation with Malik Willis, it's going to be determined by Pat Hara and Todd Downing, how well they can develop him. But I don't know if he's going to be ready September the 11th. But I know one thing for sure is that if I had to go with anybody in a backup situation, just in case that Ryan Tannehill, if he gets hurt, and I don't wish that. But again, I'm going with Logan Woodside as my backup.
And all three quarterbacks are in attendance and working at OTAs right now. In fact, in the early part of the workout, they did a rookie period while the veterans were doing a team period too, just to make sure there were enough reps for everybody to go around. I think at that point, the OTAs, it is a voluntary, this is phase three of the off season. It is still a voluntary portion of the off season, and a number of guys are not in attendance. John Glennon, you have written a piece about this where you sort of looked at who's here and who's not. Let's start with give us a rundown of some of the bigger names who are not in attendance right now.
Yeah, that is not necessarily a short list either. you know, I think especially on the defensive side, you look at a lot of the veterans: Bud Dupree, Danico Autry, Harold Landry, Kevin Byard, you know, Zach Cunningham. Are some of the names that we did not see today. Offensively, obviously, Derrick Henry is the big name there. But, you know, I think Nate Davis, Jeff Swain, also some of the veterans that were not there. And, you know, I can see, you know, there are passionate Titans fans out there, and I completely get where they're coming from. They want to, you know, hey, we didn't win a playoff game last year. We were a disappointment in the postseason. We should be taking advantage of every single opportunity. I understand that passion, and I also understand the coaches wanting, obviously, the players to be there. But people have to recognize that this is something that was bargained out between the NFL and the NFL Players Association. These are the rules. These guys aren't breaking any rules. They're not holdouts. These are voluntary sessions, and I think sometimes we all have to sort of step back and look maybe at our own jobs and at our own lives, and if the rules and the guidelines said, hey, if you feel comfortable where you're at, there's no need to come into work today, how many of us would be saying, I am coming in there anyway. I need to be there, you know, and I think that question needs to be asked sometimes, and you have to you know, bring that human perspective in a little bit.
Well, and it's sort of a product of COVID in a lot of ways. You know, COVID has changed a lot of things, and there was a lot of work done virtually in the off seasons. Guys found ways to get their training done on their own, and they realized, you know what, I can get ready for a season and I don't have to be in the facility every single day. It's no different for the rest of us. I mean, how many folks are working from home, you know, a couple days a week or full time nowadays? It's, you know, it's no different. Denard, I'm curious, you know, you came in the league in 1997. There were voluntary portions of the off season then, but the word voluntary sort of had a different meaning then, didn't it?
Than no, what it does right now? Heck no, it's the same. I told you guys what veterans do in OTAs, you're not going to see. I mean, look at it. I'm going to tell our fans, listen. Jeffrey Simmons, 2021 Pro Bowler. Kevin Byard, 2021 first team All Pro. Bud Dupree, last year, 5-year, $85 million deal. Let me just, Harold Landry had his best year, 12 sacks. He was rewarded with an $87.5 million contract. Derrick Henry wasn't in camp. You're talking about the reigning rushing NFL MVP. So again, what do you fans want? It's OTA. It's voluntary. Listen, this is in your contract. You don't have to show up. Now, training camp, yes, voluntary. OTAs, no. Why? Because this is the nucleus of your team. What are these guys are going to, what are they going to do now, John and David, that's going to get them ready for September 11th? You got a whole training camp to get ready. What they're doing is, you know what you're going to get out of these players. Guys have been doing this from the beginning of time. I was the same way. You're not going to see Denard walk. Well, you probably see me around, but I'm not going to be practicing. It is not time for the veterans, because they have training camp to get ready. That's the purpose. That's the part of the game. Training camp is for the veterans. This is the time for the young guys to get them acclimated to the system. So again, this is a non-issue, because we used to do it too. You wasn't going to see Eddie George around the facility in May. You probably won't even see Eddie in June, but July come training camp, he's looking like the Hulk. Yeah, that's just the way it works. Those guys, they go and learn in Los Angeles. They're in Vegas. They're doing their thing, but they're getting ready for the season. And the way that veterans get ready for the season is training camp.
So at what point do most guys feel comfortable staying away, though? Because there, you know, there is this sense that, well, if I'm not there, you know, out of sight, out of mind, they might fall in love with somebody else at my position, right? Like what do you have to accomplish to where you feel comfortable enough to say, you know, I'll show up when I show up and they'll be happy to see me?
Well, first of all, you just paid Kevin Byard. He's the top. He's the top. Who are you going to replace KB with? Tell me. Derrick Henry's not there. Who are you going to replace the king with? You just paid Harold Landry. He has to play. What are you going to replace him with? You mean you're going to give me $87.5 million, Don, and you're going to say, hey, I'm going to replace you if you're not here? I'm like, go ahead. If you gave me guaranteed money, John and David, I would say, you know what? If y'all said right now, Denard, we're going to give you $100 million, and you say, okay, guaranteed. And then I said, well, you say it's voluntary. And I said, well, you know what? Today I don't feel like it. I want to work on my tan. You can't force me to do it, but you still got to pay me, right?
Right.
The same thing. It's the same thing. Listen, guys have been doing this from the beginning of time. This is nothing new. It is. When I went to Denver, Mike Shanahan had us. Well, he was a little different. You will be there for OTAs. And that was just the way Mike was. When it's time to work, it's time to work. Every coach is different. Mike Vrabel is no different than Jeff Fisher. Why? They have something in common. They both were players. Jeff was a player. He knows how players think. Coaches know this. Mike Shanahan was different. Come OTAs, you will be there. But we didn't practice. You didn't really do anything. You went outside for about 45 minutes, did some stretching, couple of coverages, and that was it. That's just the way it is. Everybody's different. I love what Mike Vrabel's doing, because he knows that come time, when it comes time for training camp, I know I can count on Zach Cunningham. I know I can count on Harold Landry. And that's where guys start to make their money, because you can't skip training camp. You get paid for that.
Let me just quick raise a couple questions. Like, for instance, today I was watching the offensive line, you know, practice, and Taylor Lewan, you know, a veteran who was there, was clearly stepping in with some of the rookies like Nicholas Petitfrere and so forth, offering tips. Same with Dylan Radins, offering some tips, some pointers. Hey, you need to do this and this. So from the aspect of whether it's teaching or whether leadership in general, is there something to be said in that regard for some veterans being there, you know, kind of showing examples in both of those ways?
That's great. I mean, everybody's different, John. I understand where you come from, because this could be a teaching time where Kevin Byer can come in and teach those young players. Listen, this is how we do things here. This is how you should go at it. These are the angles that you can take. But when you get in like OTAs, that's kind of a time where you have a young coach and the coaches kind of take those young guys aside, and he can understand what, from a coach's perspective, this is what I want. This is what I expect out of you. So, players, listen, when we go into the season next year, let's just say I'm playing. When they go into that game against the Giants September 11th, they're going into that game with Kevin Byard, more than like he's going to be your starting free safety, Jeffrey Simmons, all of these guys that we just mentioned. Those are the guys that you pay to get the job done. That's why you pay them so handsomely. That's just the way it works in this league. So guys usually take this time to kind of get themselves mentally ready, kind of mentally prepared. And some guys do it differently. Again, Taylor may feel comfortable going out there and saying, listen, I got a lot of young offensive line. I want to go out there and just kind of give some pointers and some tips. Some guys don't feel comfortable. They feel like, you know what? Let the coach do his job. Let him do what he's paid to do. Let him coach. So again, I'm not faulting these players for not being there because Jeff, he held us to the same standard. Listen, I know it's OTAs. If you was a starter, I don't expect to see you, but maybe on that last OTA, I want you guys in here for that 3-day camp. Come in, do a couple of reps. But again, the young guys, they're going to get the bulk of the reps because training camp, John and David, that's when your veterans, they're going to get the bulk of the reps. And then you're going to see the young guys, they're not going to get those reps. They're going to get 2 or 3 reps here. And then a lot of their reps is going to come out. It's going to come after practice. So again, this is valuable teaching moments for young players. OTAs is for young players. And for the veterans, it's like I used to say, go work on your tan. Just go work on your tan.
Well, one veteran who is in attendance and was doing some things on the field, not everything, but most notably running, was wide receiver Robert Woods, one of the big offseason acquisitions, a guy like Bud Dupree a year ago, coming off reconstructive knee surgery. John Glennon, what did you see from Robert Woods? How good a sign is it that he's out there running around right now?
It was very encouraging, to be honest, because, you know, I mean, everybody comes back from injuries and especially ACLs, I think, and, you know, with different timelines. So you're just never sure, you know, and Robert Woods kind of had his, you know, sort of midway or you know, even later than midway through the season last year. So honestly, I'm a little surprised that we're seeing him at this level, and he's not at 100%. You know, he still had the knee brace on out there today. He wasn't what I would call a full practice participant, even though he was out there the whole time. But he is developing that chemistry with Ryan Tannehill. That's you know, certainly a good reason to be at OTAs for a veteran. You know, so I was encouraged by what we saw from him. And I was encouraged also by what Ryan Tannehill said about him. You know, I think there's clearly, you know, a clicking taking place. Ryan Tannehill kind of respects Robert Woods' attitude about the game. You know, the fact that he wants to get out there, the fact that he wants to get after it. And I think that, you know, they looked good throwing the ball to one another today. And I think that's a big step in the right direction for Robert Woods.
Yeah, I would not say that he was, you know, in full flight at any point today. Yeah, like his stride didn't look long and loose. You know, he and maybe that's the brace. Maybe that's still part of the recovery. More than likely, it's probably some of both. But one thing we've learned about Ryan Tannehill in 2.5 years as a starting quarterback is he is very particular with route design and whatnot, and if he expects, or if the you know, he expects a guy to be at 12 yards, for example, when he does the in, and not 12 and a half, not 11 yards, and he can, you know, with a guy like Robert Woods right now, they can talk through some of those things and sort of gain that understanding, because let's face it, there's nobody among that wide receiver group that you can say is really proven. That, you know, there's not, you know, AJ Brown's gone, right? There's not that guy that implicit trust is there at this point. So they're going to have to put in that work. Denard, knee injuries, we all know it takes a long time. What are reasonable expectations for folks from Robert Woods, say, through training camp, the start of the season? What do you think are reasonable?
You just said it, David, time. It takes time. Don't rush an injury. That's the worst thing you can do, because what you don't want is to set him back. And what Robert, you know, he's been in the game now for 10 years. He's a vet, 30 years old. He's been a productive receiver in this league for a long time. But his best friend, someone that he's been spending a lot of time with, and believe me, I know, is it Todd Torricelli, the trainer for the Titans. That's who has his work cut out for him right now, because that's where he's getting a lot of that rehab. And Todd Torricelli has a lot to say. Listen, Robert, I know you want to go full speed. I know earlier on I was reading some of the articles and he was talking about he felt like they were holding him back in Nashville. Well, you know why? Because, listen, this team gave up a lot to get you here. They traded for you. They gave up a sixth rounder, a 2023 to L.A. So, but listen, this is the way it works. If you're Todd Torricelli, you're telling Robert Woods, listen, if you look at our receiving core this year, and he's probably not saying like this, but we really don't have nobody other than you and our first round pick, Treylon Burks. If you look at it, look at the guys that you have on the perimeter. And I'm not saying this is Todd Torricelli, but you have a lot of unproven players. Racing McMath, your last year, your sixth round pick. I mean, we saw him last year kind of get in some games and spurts, but again, he didn't show you that he can be a number one receiver. You think about Dez Fitzpatrick, your fourth rounder last year. He came on late. I thought Dez, you know, he showed some production, and that's what you want to see. But Cody Hollister, he started the New England game. You talk about Mason Kinsey. We talk about the young Kyle Phillips. These are a lot of players, like John said, they're unproven. So when you think about your core, I mean, you're thinking about your strength. You know your strength is in your running game. You arguably got the best running back in the league. Other than that, who do you have on the perimeters? You have a rookie in Treylon Burks that I don't want to get into the, you know, what's going on up there. But again, right now, you need 100%. You need the Robert Woods that we saw in 2018 and 2019 that had back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons. And if you're hurt and if you can't explode and if there's no continuity, without continuity, you can't build chemistry. So right now, if you're Robert Woods, take it easy. You know, listen, this team they don't need you right now. What they need is a healthy Robert Woods. And the only way that you're going to get healthy, it's going to take you some time. And so right now for him, it's just getting that knee stronger, getting that ligament stronger. And that's how he's going to be able to contribute to this team, because we saw last year, this team brought in arguably one of the greatest receivers in Julio Jones, but he couldn't stay. He was injured for most of the season. And we saw pretty much it was probably in 11 years in the National Football League, his lowest production in 11 years. You're talking about one of the most explosive, one of the most electric players in NFL history. And he had less than 500 receiving yards and one touchdown. That's not going to cut it. And we also saw, if you look at the Houston game, when you saw when he started getting healthy, it just seemed like him and Ryan was off. So again, just take your time. You don't win no football game in May, June, and July. You win them in September, October, November, December. So right now, David, it's about just taking your time and trying to make sure you get everybody healthy going into training camp.
Yeah, as we start to wrap this thing up, you mentioned Dez Fitzpatrick, and he was a guy I was paying close attention to because he's obviously an interesting story based on a generally disappointing rookie season. And there was one rep I saw in individual drill where he looked like a baby deer, like his legs were sort of like he couldn't keep up with his feet. And then the ball came his way and he dropped it. And you thought, you kind of went, oh, come on. And then in 7-on-7, he made a terrific contested catch against safety Amani Hooker, you know, who is an NFL player. You know, that wasn't a rookie. That was a safety who was in the right spot, made a play on the ball and a really good play. And you go, okay, well, that's the promising sort of thing. And he just needs to, you know, I just started thinking he needs to even those things off. You can't have those, you know, like you can't have the terrible rep in a game, because that turns into, you know, a ball going the other way for the defense or whatever. And if he can iron those things out, he'll gain a lot of trust. And John Glennon, along those same lines, give me a quick observation or two that you had from this first OTA and what did you draw from it?
I'll stick with the pass catchers on that one. One thing I liked was what I saw from Austin Hooper, you know, and that's another new face in the pass catching department that Ryan Tannehill needs to develop chemistry with. And I thought, you know, Austin Hooper had some good catches today. He had a number of catches today. And I think both Tannehill and Hooper were, again, talking about that chemistry taking place. The more reps they get together, the better it will get. The other situation I pulled from today's OTA is still the weirdest situation so far of the offseason, and that is Treylon Burks, the first round draft pick. You know, at the rookie mini camp, we saw him in and out of practice, you know, whether he was dealing with, you know, allergies, whether it's potentially asthma, whether he was just out of shape, uncertain, but it sort of repeated itself a little bit today, not nearly as noticeable, but he did, again, kind of go in and out of drills today. And I, you know, Mike Vrabel would rather, you know, walk on hot coals than clear up anything in terms of injury or anything like that. But if it is something like allergies or asthma that Treylon Burks is dealing with, you know, I think Mike Vrabel would do well by his first round draft pick to mention that and you know, take away a lot of this criticism that Treylon Burks is getting, that people consider him just completely out of shape and so forth, which I find hard to believe anybody would be so out of shape, you know, that he was exhausted on his first drill of the first day. So again, it's a weird situation. He was out there today, again, in and out. So, you know, we're left kind of wondering, you know, what exactly the deal is with Treylon Burks going forward.
It does bear watching, and it will probably warrant some more discussion, and we will be among those discussing it as we go forward. But that is going to wrap our time for today. As always, Denard Walker, thank you.
Thank you.
John Glennon, thank you.
Thank you, sir.
And thank you all for listening. And we will talk to you next week. This is the Believe in Titans podcast.